Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Every week, we chat with an influencer to see what makes them tick. And today, Friday, March 5th, 2010, I am delighted to be joined by Justin Kahn of the eponymous Justin TV. Justin isn't quite with us just yet, but we are eagerly awaiting his arrival. In the meantime, I thought I would talk a little bit about kind of how Justin describes himself. I think when all of us think of Justin TV, we think of Justin being sort of the CEO or, you know, at the head of operations. And actually, they have he's not their CEO. He's actually kind of their idea guy. As he says in his bio, he comes up with product ideas, keeps the tech team in line, writes specs, does technical hiring, installs servers, buys hardware, writes user features, and tries hard to get out of the office on his motorcycle once in a while. So he does, you know, he's a pretty humorous guy if you've ever met him, and he's definitely, you know, had this interesting vision for what Justin TV could become. And I think in the space of streaming media, it's really interesting how people have used Justin TV for live casting, maybe more than some other platforms. It just sort of lends itself well to that. I think what's interesting, too, is that depending on the event that's streamed, you get a different level of commentary. So having either social media club events or the recent Ignite Week events, and a big shout-out to the folks at Ignite that were able to get everyone together to do the events this week and get them streamed live. The one in the Bay Area was actually done by, it was on live stream, and, you know, the quality of the commentary is very different. There's a lot of high-level events there, and, you know, for example, they're doing the Oscars this weekend, so it's a very different kind of operation. Ustream has its own personality. They do some of the celebrity stuff, but not as much deeper dives into, you know, kind of the live casting space, or at least not that I've seen. So, for example, they streamed live the web conference. So the entire conference was actually streamed on Ustream for free. So you could take advantage of this very expensive conference happening in France for free. It was amazing. But most of the local events that I go to, whether it's the online community meetup that happens at TechSoup or, you know, as I said, some of our social media club events, here in the San Francisco Bay Area tend to be through Justin TV. And it's interesting, as I said, to see the kind of commentary. It ranges from juvenile to, you know, very insightful questions. And so it's a big question for us as to how to moderate and how to, you know, keep in mind that, you know, we want to make sure that we're including this conversation. And with Twitter as our main channel for conversation, it does, you know, mix things up a bit. So, you know, that's something to consider, too, when choosing platforms for events, is the kind of commentary that you want to, you know, develop or have in the stream of things. At this point, I would love to invite people to tweet in questions about live streaming or anything related. My Twitter address is Jennifer with an E-D at the end, so Jennifered, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R-E-D. And please feel free to tweet in questions for every show and guest, not just this one. And as well, you can go to Facebook if you are on Blog Talk Radio. If you're listening to this on iTunes, you can head over to Facebook and just search my name, look for my page where my shows are listed, and you can just comment right there. And I find that's a really nice way to just be able to let folks get into the stream of things. And of course, you can always email in questions too if you like, but I think it's probably easier generally for me to manage, especially during the show. I'm looking at Twitter all the time, looking at direct messages, looking at mentions that are happening in the Twitter sphere for, you know, the latest comments that I might be able to interject as we go. So now that I'm done rambling, it looks like we have a caller online, possibly Justin. Hi, you're on Blog Talk Radio.
How's it going?
Hi, is this Justin?
Yeah, this is Justin.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I've been talking about the different streaming platforms that are out there, so I guess this is a good chance to deep dive with you on, you know, kind of the vision that you had for Justin to begin with and kind of who it started with, how it ended up with the name Justin TV.
Cool, yeah. So we started Justin TV as something entirely different. Like now it's a live streaming platform, the largest live video site online. And we stream, you know, millions of hours of video a day. But when it started off, it was something very different. It was just me and a few friends of mine, my co-founders of the company, like trying to produce our own reality, like a live reality TV show on the internet. So we launched that in 2007, and we, you know, pretty quickly realized that we weren't as interesting as we thought we were, and then, you know, kind of from there went on to develop it as a platform.
I noticed that, you know, I was just saying before you came on the line that it's interesting to me how sort of the, you know, as I'm either involved in organizing events or at events, I always notice who's live stream because I've been, you know, that was a huge part of my career was, you know, online media. So I always, always, always pay attention. And, you know, the three players that I can think of that are out there are, of course, Justin.tv. And then the other two seem to be Livestream and Ustream. And each has sort of a different element. But in terms of, like, the life casting element, you know, Justin seems to kind of rule that space. Is that by intention? Do you think that's true?
Well, I think that, like, our community, we have a very, like, you know, one of the things that our community grew out of was people broadcasting themselves and just, you know, going online and chatting. A lot of what we call social broadcasting now. So that's something that, you know, is really, a really popular activity on Justin TV
yeah.
right now.
So one of the early people was Sarah Austin, who you have on your homepage, is back on Justin with Pop 17.
Yeah, I think she has her show, and they're broadcasting on Justin TV
yep,
again.
It's back.
I think they have been broadcasting, actually, in the past. So, but, they're excited to have her back on the site.
Yeah, so in terms of trying to create, you know, definition about who you are as a platform versus the other competitors. How do you think you stand out? Is it really this life casting element with people that, you know, are sort of online celebs sharing the details of their life every day? Or is it more event driven? Because I know that, you know, I've been at a number of local San Francisco Bay Area events, and Justin TV seems to be the one that, you know, is used kind of most often.
Yeah, so, you know, Justin TV is a platform for live video that anyone can use to really broadcast anything. But I think that what we really focus on the most is how do we make live video easy to use for and valuable for, you know, like the everyday internet user. And so, you know, one of our goals is that you shouldn't have to, like, live video has always been really, really complicated and hard to use and hard to set up and, like, you know, you're not sure what you would use it for. And one of the things that we want to do is, I think that, like, there's a lot of people who are focusing on, like, trying to get, you know, high production value live video stuff online. But I think the more interesting thing is, like, how can you create a tool that, like, people will use and, like, on an everyday basis, or use it to just communicate with their friends. Maybe, like, they're doing a broadcast, maybe they want to, like, share stuff with the world. Like, how do we make it super easy to set up? And that's, like, you know, what we kind of think about. And that's, I think that's a little bit different from our competitors who might be focused more on, like, the premium live video content.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people use Justin TV for a lot of things. You know, people, we have, like, people broadcasting live safaris from Africa that are, like, broadcast over satellite, or, like, people do their own shows. People will play video games and demo new video games on the site. But what we think about every day, like, I think that all those use cases come from someone, like, at first just being able to set up something really easy and, like, see themselves in a live stream and say, and like, actually have it all work. You know, it's surprisingly hard. I think it's, I've heard so many times, like, on Justin TV and our competitors, you know, people complain when, like, you know, their stream just, they can't get a stream to work. It's like a really complicated process. You know, you have to have an account, you have to, like, you have to figure out, like, a camera that can connect to your computer or, like, use your webcam. And, like, we just want to make, we want to streamline that. And we spend, you know, we have a, we're a really engineering-driven company, and we, like, spend a lot of time thinking about how we can make it easy, fun, and fast to broadcast on Justin TV.
Easy, fun, and fast. So one of the things I think that's interesting is sort of the organization of how Justin has gotten very over the years since 2007, you know, gotten really defined roles. Like, I've had the chance and pleasure of meeting Evan Solomon as he was prepping for the live hot dog eating contest, who was on a panel that I moderated. And I know you have Michael, you know, as your CEO. Tell me a little bit about the management of this as it's kind of evolved, because I think it was, wasn't it a small group? And then, you know, of course, as you've gained funding and other things, you've probably, there's, I guess, some learning in there probably that you could share with others about how to let your organization grow and find your own role within it.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we started off, it was myself, Michael, who's currently our CEO, and my, our two other co-founders, Kyle and Emmett, and we all had different, you know, things that we were doing. You know, Mike is been the CEO basically since the beginning, and he's, you know, responsible for a lot of the kind of fundraising and strategic planning, kind of talking, you know, doing a lot of, he was doing a lot of business development in the early days, and then, like, Emmett was, you know, kind of working on the front end, like our CTO, like, did a lot of the website, and Kyle, like, did the video system, which is, you know, pretty critical part of the site. And, you know, I always, like, kind of played the, like, position, like, whatever was needed position. So, you know, my role has jumped around from a lot of, like, product management stuff to project management, to doing a lot of recruiting and hiring for, like, to build out the team. You know, so it's kind of like it's changed over the years. We've, like, added a lot of people. You know, Justin TV now, the company is about 30 people. And we've added, you know, Evan, who you mentioned, our VP of marketing. We have a guy, our chief business officer in charge of all our BD now, David, who came over from Bebo. And we've added, like, lots and lots of people to the technical team. So, yeah, it's been an interesting ride. And we've always, I think, been really good about doing, having, you know, one of the founders has done something, has done a role until, you know, there was kind of too much work, and then we've been able to hire someone who is, you know, better at it for, you know, in that position. Kind of how we built out the team is, like, we know we need to hire someone when, you know, it's become, like, more of a full-time job for one of the founders to do.
So in terms of you know, your your greatest lesson in setting up this company that you think, like, other people may not get or realize when they, you know, turn something that was clearly a love of yours into a business, what would you say is, like, you know, the number one piece of advice you'd give?
Well, I mean, I think that, like, really the thing that has let us, you know, kind of continue on and, like, make sure that, and, like, you know, there's been, like, a lot of ups and downs. Like, in any startup business, there's, like, a lot of ups and downs. And I think that just really our company has really been based on the foundation of, like, our, you know, me and my other founders, like, friendship over the years, and, like, having, you know, being able to have other people that you're working with that you really, like, enjoy working with and you can rely on is something that's pretty phenomenal, and I think has, like, kept us as a company, like, alive.
So in terms of, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, finding the right people to work with is the most important thing that anyone can do. I think, especially, you know, that probably applies to what even businesses that aren't like kind of born out of like a labor of love. But my top piece of advice, I guess.
Yeah, make sure you can stand the people you're around because it's a long ride. In terms of your role now, are you still feeling like you're playing kind of, you know, because, I mean, your bio talks about, you know, basically all of the functions that you just described now, so a little bit of product, a little bit of writing specs. Are you feeling like you're kind of, you know, the everyman who kind of fills in the gaps where needed?
Yeah, I mean, I think I do a lot of that. We have a new VP product who, you know, does all the product, makes the product decisions and does all the product management for the site now, and is much more talented than I am. His name's Caleb, and you know, any Justin TV users will like know him intimately. But we you know, so I've kind of jumped around, and I still like, you know. It's kind of like we see a need in a certain area, and then I like we'll go and work on that. So right now it's you know, figuring out how we can like make the best use of our, you know, kind of technical resources and get the team moving in the same direction, and like really focusing on a few technical projects.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, making sure those like go really smoothly. So I don't know. It doesn't really, when I describe it, it doesn't really sound like a real job, but that's what I'm doing.
You know what? Getting things, it sounds like you play a key role in making sure things get executed, and anyone that has worked in a startup knows how important getting things actually from ideation to execution is, requires sometimes the most heavy lifting. So if I'm interpreting your role right, it sounds pretty important and key to keeping things moving.
Yeah, I think it's like keeping things moving is like the is very accurate, right? Like I think that's what I do actually. I just keep things moving.
Yeah, and that's great because I mean, you're with it being named for you. I mean, you, I would imagine, are somewhat of a figurehead. You know, whether it's inside the company or outside the company, probably outside the company more. Even because if you're really involved in a project every day, you may not even think about the name. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that, you know, going outside and representing the company has been a big thing for us, for me to do as well. And so I've spent a lot of time doing that, whether it's, you know, going in and speaking on a panel or going out to events and meeting people or, you know, calling into a radio show, I guess. I've done a lot of that.
Yeah, and it's great that we're able to connect with you. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, too, was, you know, obviously gaining funding. You have, you know, at least three funding sources that you talk about, and at the same time balancing that with the probably thousands of users, if not hundreds of thousands of users that you have. You know, you say, you know, in your, for example, in your About Us, that there's more than 300 million videos every month produced on Justin TV. It seems like there's probably a balance that has to happen between product development, especially things that the community is really, really wanting, and maybe a little bit of weighing that against what the end goals are for your investors. Is there that sort of, you know, scale weighing happening within the organization? I would imagine Michael's probably the person that would have to weigh that the most, but you seem to have insight into sort of a bit of everything, and I'm just wondering how much of that is something that you have to deal with on a regular basis.
Well, I think that actually, you know, we've been blessed in that our investors, Stuart Alsop and Gilman Louie at Alsop Louie, and you know, Tim Draper is an investor. We've had a really good relationship with them, and haven't really had any. You know, they basically want what we want, which is what our users want, which is to like grow a really big site, and mm-hmm. You know, that makes money eventually. But like, yeah, something that is used by people that they really enjoy using, and so. We haven't really had a problem with, you know, kind of our users' desires and wants that coming into conflict with what our investors or what we want. because we basically want the same thing, which is for people to use the site and enjoy it.
So they're, you know, that's great because that means they value the community then.
Right. I think the community is actually the most valuable part of Justin TV and the most important part. And we have done I think there's things we could probably have improved or do better at in terms of our community. But I do think that that's one of the things that people, what I hear most often from our users is that's why they like Justin TV and why they come back.
Yeah, they certainly are active during live streams, I know from experience, whether it be, we've learned the hard way at Social Media Club, don't leave it unmonitored. Otherwise, the conversation can, get really active in areas that maybe you don't want it to. But, you live and learn, and these are that's something that we learned using Justin as one of our solutions for getting video out there. I want to ask you a little bit further back about, kind of the impetus behind live streaming. YouTube has a great story about the co-founders, wanting to be able to share videos with their family members or whatever the story is there. But I'm curious if there's something like that. You talked about wanting to make it easy to use, et cetera. What was it that kind of got you involved in video and then, was it video first and then online video or just, how did you get involved in being interested in getting video online?
It really came with the idea of Justin TV, which, I'd actually never really been interested in video at all, to be honest. It was more of creating media. It was more an interesting idea that we had thought of, which is like, how can we, could you broadcast something like the, live stream, like kind of like in this live broadcast format online, and like actually have it be interesting to people, and would people like care or watch it? So it was kind of like start off as like an experiment in that area, and then we realized like people, there was this demand. All these people said, hey, I want to broadcast something, and in 2007 there weren't any live video websites that would allow you to do that. And so It was pretty clear that there was a demand, at least from the broadcasting side, for people to be able to create and host streams online. And then we went and kind of tried to build something that would meet that.
Very cool. So one of the questions I have is, of course, now the landscape has gotten, I don't know if you'd call it competitive, but it's certainly, it has more players in it. So the two that I think of are Ustream.tv and Livestream.com. And, they have very different personalities than Justin TV. But, of course, I would imagine from a business point of view, it's something, and obviously a usability point of view and community building point of view, there's something to look at there. How do you sort of, if you can share, how do you kind of assess those players in comparison to yourself? Or do you say really is the way you operate more to just focus on, what your users want and sort of, the work at hand for Justin?
Well, so, we clearly keep an eye on like what everyone is doing. And I know that they keep an eye on what we're doing because a lot of, our user interface shows up on other people's sites, but including the mistakes, ironically. But we, what we really care about doing is like measuring internally. So, we spend a lot of time measuring as much as possible on every aspect of Justin TV, whether it's like how people are sharing links on the site, how people get to pages, how people, all the conversion rates for all the funnels, like how people get, like become broadcasters. What does it take to get someone to do their first broadcast? And if they get viewers in that broadcast, do they come back? That type of question. And then our feature set and product design is all kind of built around analyzing data and figuring out how people are using the site and then encouraging more of that behavior. If we think it's something good. So I'd say a lot of our, basically almost all of, the decisions we make on a product perspective come from that type of thinking, which is, more introspective, I guess. And then, when we get ideas for experiments to run or like features to try from everywhere. You know, a lot of them I think are from, you know, static video sites, or like what's popular on those sites, like what's a good feature that allows people to create video on those, like can we do something similar? I mean, that's kind of how we do it.
So what have been some current enhanced, you know, for people that maybe aren't as familiar with the ins and outs of Justin.tv and are thinking about, you know, hey, I might like to broadcast something, or I have an event coming up, or, you know, whatever it is that they have going on in their lives that they might want to share online, you know, what are some of the, like, current product enhancements that have come out of community feedback and maybe some that are coming up quickly that you can talk to?
Product enhancements that have come out. So there's one that was, I guess, has come not from community feedback per se, but more from like doing, like measuring how people are doing it, how using the site. We actually made a bunch of improvements to the broadcaster to allow people like that, just make it much, much easier to create a channel and broadcast. And that's kind of like one of those boring things that like people don't think about very much, but it turns out like we were only converting, I think, 2% of users who click broadcast to actually, you know, starting their own broadcast, because it was like confusing. And so we, you know, we made a bunch of improvements to that, looked at how users were using the site. We brought people in and like watched them, like, you know, try to set up a live broadcast. And then we ultimately, you know, released something that increased our conversion by like 700%. So it's like just much easier for someone to like start broadcasting something live and then actually go through a process where they will share that with their friends. Because I think the other half of that is like, how can we create tools for people to actually get the people that want to watch their video in the live video, you know, and they're watching and chatting. Because, you know, that's like kind of another problem that most people have, is that like they're not creating live video to like sit in a vacuum. They're actually creating it to show to someone. And if they can't get those people in the room, then it's not going to be interesting for them.
Mm-hmm. And what about, what is it that, can you talk a little bit about what made the conversion, you know, it sounds like it was a simple fix that made the conversion of clicking on the broadcast button, you know, go from 2% to, you know, a huge increase. You know, can you talk a little bit about that? Because people, I find that most people do either experience or deal with these kinds of problems. And it's always interesting to hear what the solution is.
Yeah, so it wasn't just one thing. It was a lot, like we took out a lot of required information that we needed from forms. We redesigned the forms that we used. We made it so that we redesigned the kind of simple things from like instructions that we gave people to like on how to like get their webcam going, and like made more things automated in terms of like doing a bandwidth test and stuff like that. We made all that automated, and then we put in instrumentation to like measure how everyone is going through every step, and every possible step that they can go through. And then like we're in the process now of doing another set of experiments to try, like, hey, if you ask people to share via Facebook or Twitter, like, what? How does that convert? And, like, what do those turn into actual users? Because we track every link that we send out and track every user that comes in from every link that gets sent from JustinTV. And then we are also experimenting with, like, you know, does the ordering matter? Can we change the order? Can we change, you know, the text that we use on various places? Can we kind of, like, everything, actually.
So is there anything that in the whole process of kind of reviewing, you know, what users want and implementing things where you had a huge surprise?
Well, I mean, I think the thing that's most surprising to us is like how people, like the creative ways that people can use live video. So like, I think, you know, getting back to what you talked about competitors, I think a lot of people have basically, created a lot of, and we've done this in the past, is like created lots and lots of extra features for broadcasting. But I think that one thing that is maybe not surprising, but something that we've realized recently that is that like maybe like extra features aren't really what drives user adoption. What we really need to do is make the core experience the best we possibly can, which is to say, make it easier to broadcast, make broadcasting better itself. So like make your live video quality higher, make your live video faster. And so we've done a lot of kind of engineering on the side of like building out a global video system with multiple points of presence around the world. And we've really realized like people don't really, if you can't nail the core experience, people don't care about what was on the site other than that, you know? So we really focused on that aspect. And I think that was something that was surprising to us. I mean, I guess it shouldn't have been in retrospect, but you know, it was.
So one of the things I want to ask you about, because, you know, I mean, like I said before, I've spent the bulk of my career working in this kind of media, in, you know, putting video online, you know, and I know that especially with live events, the costs of streaming can be just astronomical. And creating a reliable network is something that people may take for granted now because, you know, those of us that worked in the early days, like 10 years ago during this when I was working to set up a deal with Broadcast.com when Mark Cuban still owned it, you know, there were a lot of reliability issues, and the cost versus reliability was like a huge, huge risk-benefit analysis piece. And I'm wondering, you know, I've been away from it for a while, you know, what is that like for you? I mean, you're doing this for a community. It's a free service and, you know, anyone can use it. You know, how have you made that affordable? And, you know, are you thinking monetization has to come soon, or are you on sort of a personal deadline for making that a reality?
So to answer the first part, I mean, we were able to achieve like pretty good bandwidth prices by having a massive scale. So Justin.tv, you know, our network has a multiple locations. We have multiple co-location facilities around the United States, and we stream, you know, we have like over 250 gigabits per second of connectivity in-house, which is quite a bit. So, you know, by having a pretty big scale, we're able to keep our costs pretty reasonable, actually very reasonable. But I guess that's something that's like probably not isn't realistic necessarily for most sites. We also spend a lot of time, you know, figuring out how we can cut costs on the network side and our, you know, so we invested a lot of effort into making that, you know, building that out. We've also kind of invested a lot of effort over the past 3 years in making our network and our video system very reliable. And to that end, we've like, built a lot of custom stuff in-house. We have our own system for making sure that streams are always sent to the, like, you know, the right number of servers. If a stream is like gets really popular, because like you don't know a priori how popular things are going to be on the site, which has always been a problem. So, you know, we'll do things and like automatically, you know, propagate streams to more and more servers as they become more popular. We'll send people to the closest location to them, the closest point, you know, location that we have the stream. So, like, if you're watching from Virginia or whatever, you'll get the stream from our Virginia servers instead of, you know, going to San Francisco. And we've also arranged peering agreements with, you know, I think over 100 different peers right now, so that we can transfer, you know, we can exchange bandwidth with them for free, exchange traffic with them for free. So that's another way to get like a closer connection to the end consumer and like make the video faster. That's basically it.
Yeah, that's amazing because it is so much more complicated than people realize. And I remember being at an online video company and, you know, going through the painful process of, you know, do we build our own CDN? Do we continue using Akamai, what do we do, you know, especially for high quality live events? And, you know, since then, and actually that was in 2007. So since then, there are all of these options for, you know, live streaming. It's just amazing. I wonder too, how you, you know, deal with server space and, you know, the archiving that you do, because, you know, the things that I've been involved with have been archived as well. So, that, you know, that seems like that could be something that you have to deal with as well.
Yeah, so we also have storage, and we store over 200 terabytes of video data, like so video. That's actually relatively small in terms of, well, certainly a lot of other video sites, but also like in terms of, you know, like kind of an overall engineering effort. That's something that we don't pay as much attention to. We set it up about a year ago, and it has worked to just add extra storage units thus far. So I guess we're fortunate from that perspective. But yeah, it is a, you know, that is kind of like something that we had to learn about and work on.
Interesting. So anything that a competitor's done that you either, and you don't even have to say who the competitor is, but if you do, it makes it even better, but that they've done or adopted that you just go, ugh, I would never do that on Justin TV, or it just doesn't fit with our community?
Well, I think some of our competitors have limited the number of streams that people can get to unless you buy a paid account. So you can only stream, like, to a certain number of people unless you have a paid account, you know, like unless you buy the pro account or whatever. And I think that's something that's a little bit, like, you know, I think that users don't, or like the vast majority of users don't really want to pay for things online. And I think it's a lot nicer for them if you, like, allow them to use your service for free. So if you really want to be a big site where that has like massive adoption, I think that you kind of got to go figure out like a business model around free. And I don't anticipate that we'd do something like that where we're limiting how much people can use it without, you know, kind of without a pro account.
Mm-hmm. So what are you looking at for monetization? I mean, what do you have an idea that you can share that, you know, explains how you see monetizing this? I mean, you did talk about the community factor, and, you know, usually you think, oh, you're going to have all this user information, but you just said that, you know, part of getting people to convert to being broadcasters was reducing the amount of information that they supply. So it sounds like there's a tricky balance there. And I'm just curious if you have any insight at this point.
We monetize right now through advertising. I mean, if you go on the site, you'll notice that there's ads. So, you know, that I would say that we're not really doing anything, you know, unique there. There's ads on the, we do some lower thirds on the video, and but we're I think we're still figuring it out, to be honest. I'm not sure. It's kind of like the Holy Grail is really finding something that, you know, is some sort of advertising unit that is really related to the, you know, ties into the format. So you know, I think, like, for example, Meebo's done a really good job with their, you know, we have the Meebo bar on the site, and there's like a little Meebo ad unit on the bar, which has been something that, you know, it's kind of like ties into the format, you know, and then like clearly like AdSense is like the originator of the idea of like creating some like new ad unit that really like kind of fits in with the product. So if we could figure that out for live video, I think everything would be all good. But we're still working on that one.
So, question about user base. So are you just targeting the U.S. market, or do you actually have users in other countries?
Yeah, we have a lot of international users. Europe is pretty popular, so is Latin America. And the site is actually translated into over 20 languages. But when we think about what to, you know, what features we're rolling out or like how we're going to change things, we usually consider them from the perspective of like the U.S. user. I mean, it's probably just a lot easier for us to do since we're all U.S. consumers.
Yeah, I you know, it just seems like you know, there's opportunities, obviously, you know, China and like the developing world where people can broadcast from their phones, which is another question I wanted to ask you about. How have you dealt with mobile, and how do you foresee, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of change in the next year, I think, with platforms that people adopt based on, you know, which phones become more popular and who has access to them. But, you know, how have you dealt with the mobile and maybe even the geolocation issues that, you know, of them being so popular?
Yeah, so I think that mobile is something that's, you know, clearly a really interesting space for us and can open a lot of doors in terms of the type of content that can be created. So all I can really say is that we're currently figuring out what we want to do in that space and, like, investigating and, you know, how we're going to pursue it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Kind really of a evasive answer from Justin on that. But, yeah, in all honesty, it's hard to give away, like, you know, all of the detail. So let's talk a little bit about, I'd love to have more, you know, insight into kind of you and what drives you. So what were you doing when Justin first started up, like for a living and as a person?
Oh, yep. So before Justin TV, one of my co-founders on Justin TV, Emmett, and I were working on this web calendar startup called Kiko. It was we started it in 2005. It was kind of like Google Calendar before Google Calendar came out. So we had worked on that, and we learned a lot, and then Google Calendar came out, and then we were like, huh, they took all our users. Probably rightly so, it was a lot more useful in conjunction with Gmail. And so we ended up just selling that on eBay, and then going to work on Justin TV right after that.
Wait, you sold it on eBay? How much money did you make? Can you say?
I'm sure we
could look it up.
$258,000.
Wow, that's amazing. You sold it on eBay.
Fun.
That's so clever. It's the first time an entrepreneur said that to me.
Yeah, it was very exciting because, you know, we sold it and we thought it was going to go for like $50,000 maybe. And then, like, over the course of the morning, it jumped, you know, it was jumping, like, by, like, $20,000 for, like, every 10 minutes for, you know, half an hour or something like that right before the
Oh, my God, your heart must have been racing.
Yeah, it was definitely, like, I can't believe that this is happening. This is amazing. I remember I was at a friend's place in New York and just, like, it's clicking refresh on our eBay page.
Very cool.
Yeah, so that was originally a company that was funded by Y Combinator, which is a seed fund for startups. And
are they still involved in the funding of Justin now? Because they're listed on your About Us. I'm just curious.
Yeah, so they funded Justin TV in the very beginning. Actually, that's why we even did it. We were working with them. So we went to Paul Graham, who's the, you know, kind of like main guy at Y Combinator. We were at his house and talking over some other ideas, and he ended up not liking them. And we were like, well, what about, you know, we have this Justin.TV idea. I don't know how it's a business, but it could be something. And another partner at Y Combinator who was there, Robert Morris, told me, you know, well, I'll fund that just to see you make a fool of yourself. So at that point, we were like, okay, let's do it. Let's try to figure out how we would create this.
Very cool. So, you know, background even before that, you know, where did you go to school? You know, are you from the Bay Area? All the like, you know, juicy questions people want to know. We know that you ride a motorcycle. We don't know what kind, though.
I do. It's a Suzuki SV650, 2000s. Yeah, it's I bought it a couple of years ago. It's great. It's good for getting around the city. Anyone who lives in the Bay Area probably knows it's very good for the Bay Area. And
yeah, it is.
Yeah, so before that, I was before Kiko, graduated from college in 5 from Yale, where two of my Justin TV co-founders also went, Mike and Emmett. And, yeah, that was, I was a physics major.
And so physics major, and then were you from the Bay Area before that? So you came back to the Bay Area?
No, I was from Seattle, and then when we weren't, you know, went to the East Coast for college, we moved to Boston to work on our first startup, and then we moved to San Francisco to work on Justin TV, and, you know, I love it here.
One question, I don't know, for whatever reason, Chris Perlow obviously has been successful in Seattle, and there's a lot of successful in Seattle types. Anybody you get in touch with just because they're from Seattle and you happen to be, you know, that you've met, that you've kind of riffed with because they happen to have been from your hometown?
That's a good question. One of my friends from high school started a startup, although that's kind of like I knew him before. So I was actually pretty surprised when he started his startup. But I don't know if there are any Seattle entrepreneurs that I've actually really met. another friend of mine who went to, when he sold his company, Text Pay Me, to Amazon. His name's Phil Ewan. He was in Seattle, and you know, we've kind of kept in touch over the years. They were also a Y Combinator company.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if anyone's, you know, because they were pretty early when they were acquired. Like, not that many people have heard of them.
Interesting. Yeah, it's always interesting to get kind of people's backstory. You know, it's like, you know, it seems to start with where you went to high school or college or whatever your kind of the place was that kind of defined you. You know, and you met the people that you end up doing business with. But it seems like there's kind of a broader story there about, you know, where we come from and whether or not we go back and, you know, do you go back to high school reunions or anything like that to see what people are up to?
Yeah, well, my fifth year of college reunion is this year, so we'll be going back and kind of seeing if anyone else is working on an internet business, I guess.
Yeah, at least at Yale, you know, people will understand what you do. I mean, that's the biggest thing, I guess, you know, is you know, I went to school kind of in the middle of nowhere, and it's like, you know, would they understand what I even do? Do they know what web strategy is? Do they listen to podcasts? I'm not sure. You know, you don't want to, you know, shortchange people, but you're just, you know, don't want to start talking about stuff, and people are like, "What are you talking about?" Either. So it's kind of interesting. So I guess, you know, another question that you know, I think every entrepreneur, you know, struggles with, or maybe not every entrepreneur, but some entrepreneurs are lucky to have really good mentors. I know I went to Columbia J School, and they try to do that. You know, they try to sort of facilitate that, and I think if it's facilitated by the school, it doesn't really work as well. But I'm just wondering if you had anybody that was like an idol of yours, even if it's not directly related to this industry, or that really influenced kind of the way you work today?
Well, I've had a couple mentors over my life, I guess. I mean, one obvious one is Paul Graham, who, you know, funded us, really introduced me to the idea that you can, you know, start a startup, and, like, that would be a job that you could do, you know. Like, I never... Yale, like you know, you mentioned that Yale, like, people might understand what we're doing, but it's not like MIT or Stanford, where, you know, startups are, like, kind of part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Not that many companies really come out of Yale, and so
I know it's a big English majors are huge at Yale, for
English
example.
Majors who go and become iBankers and consultants. So
yeah.
You know, even introducing us to the idea that you could do a startup was pretty novel and, like, a very important kind of revelation in my life. And so, you know, I credit Paul with doing that. And then he's also a very inspirational person to talk to. When you talk to him, you know, you come away feeling energized about the idea, or, like, creating something new. And that's, you know, that's a pretty amazing effect to have on people. So, yeah, that's definitely a big one. And then I think I get my work ethic from my mother, actually, who was always a very hard worker and entrepreneurial, and I probably would not be able to, or would not have, you know, been the type of person to like pursue a startup and really be willing to work pretty hard at it if it wasn't for her. So,
have you been able to do anything for her since that, you know, has been something you always wanted to kind of do for your mom or surprise her or take her somewhere?
She's like the type of person who always does it. If she wants to do something, she just does it herself. Like, for example, she's in India right now learning yoga. Just decided, like,
hey, oh, fantastic.
Like, oh, yeah. It was like, all right. You know, it's kind of like out of the blue and just went by herself. So, hey. So, there's nothing that I don't think there's anything I can give her that she's not already doing that she wants to do.
Yeah, so it sounds like that, you know, maybe from your mom, there's, I mean, that's definitely introspective to be doing something, you know, yoga based and, you know, all about mind body connection, that sort of thing. What do you do for a release besides, you know, ride your motorcycle? You know, how do you have a sense of work life balance, or, you know, is it, you know, mostly work and maybe 10% if you're lucky, fun?
Oh, yeah, I would say that. When we started off, there was definitely like much more of a, you know, we were kind of killing ourselves. Today, like, you know, I like to make sure that we exercise, you know, every day. That's pretty important, I think, for people to like actually, you know, feel healthy and like, you know, feel good, wake up and like actually be energized. So, I play a lot of tennis and racquetball and get to the gym and go running a lot.
Oh, we definitely need some internet pictures of that.
Yeah, I'm
you playing racquetball.
I'm pretty bad at, like, almost all sports, but I've realized, like, I can just enjoy them and not necessarily be the best. That was a big step for me, too. like, not good at.
That's
yeah.
a hard thing to learn, actually, is actually how to, you know, say it's okay to not be perfect at something. So it sounds like you kind of are a perfectionist. Would you call yourself really, like, perfectionist or, you know, very A-type personality-wise?
Yeah, I think I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I always want to, like, do things and really do them all the way. Like, I think that, for me, my personality type is, like, if I'm doing something, I'm, like, going all out on it, and if otherwise I don't want to do it. So, you know, when I started exercising, I was like, okay, I'm going to go 6 days a week and, like, you know, kind of just went nuts on it. Likewise for startups, I really want to like dive in and like spend all my time thinking about them and like working on them. So yeah, it's for some activities a little hard to tone down, but I think having a balance is probably, people tell me it's a good thing.
So you're a pretty young guy. What, you know, what do you hope the trajectory is of your life/career, because, you know, I don't want to, I'm really big about not just defining people by what they do for work, but, you know, what do you, you know, and it sounds like that's a theme in your family, too, that accomplishing things can be about more than just what you, you know, what you do and makes you money. You know, so, you know, what do you see as, you know, Justin Kahn's future? You know, what do you, you know, what do you really want to get out of life? Are there more startups? You know, you kind of alluded to that there might be more startups down the line. You know, what would make you happy?
Well, I think that, so from a lot of things I've read, you can't really improve your happiness very much. So that's kind of like something I've just been taking as a given. I mean, I don't expect to be very much happier. Although, on the other hand, the good thing is that I think I'm pretty happy right now. So that's good. I think that, like, probably a lot of startups, you know, I love doing startups. I like starting something new and literally learning about a new business, even, like, non-internet businesses. So, like, you know, I kind of stumbled, to be honest, into doing an internet business because, you know, I was never, like, a really great programmer or anything like that. A lot of, like, what I know now about building websites and, like, web applications is all, like, kind of on-the-job learning. So, you know, I think starting businesses is interesting. Starting them in different industries is very interesting to me. I also, you know, I like to travel, and I like, so like kind of moving around and maybe living some other places would be a fun thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know, I have like a lot of other things. Doing random things are interesting to me, like building like little small web apps and stuff like that, just to make my like life easier. I like doing that type of thing. It's not really like a big world changing thing, but I built a little web app for myself that reminds me to talk to my friends and like tells me to, you know, one person every day that I should like reach out to or like help me keep in touch with people. I like doing that kind of thing, like small things. Yeah, so we'll see what, I don't know what the future has in store, but I'm excited.
Very cool. So how many more years do you think that, you know, I mean, in terms of your investment in Justin, do you see yourself taking it, you know, public and that, you know, staying with it for the long haul, whatever that means? Or do you see yourself breaking out maybe in a certain amount of time to go and pursue other things?
Well, I mean, I definitely love what I'm doing right now. And I think that my opportunities today through Justin TV are like, you know, they're great. I mean, I love like working on Justin TV. I feel like we really built a pretty awesome team, you know, and that's something I'm really excited about. And I just like, I'm not, you know, there's nothing that I'd rather be doing, really. It's, I don't really know like what's going to happen with the company in the future. We're like, you know, we're trying to work as hard as we can to make sure that we're building like a sustainable and scalable business. So I expect that it will work out, but you know, that's what we're working on, and that's what I intend to be working on.
Well, I'm sure your investors are thrilled to hear that.
Yeah.
A little bit from Justin Kahn. Anything this year in terms of trends that you think you really are going to be, you know, hotly following? You know, I had asked about geolocation, and we really never got a chance to talk about that. But anything, any hot trends or anything that you think you'll be following closely or could affect the business in a big way?
Well, I think that you were right about mobile being a very interesting and big thing. So, you know, I think that, like, clearly there's lots and lots of smartphones. Like, more and more smartphones are coming out on the market, and that's something that's, like, very important to pay attention to for any web business. Because, basically, you know, your phone is your next computer. So it's the way that people are going to be accessing data on the web. And, you know, if you do something that gives people, you know, is a web application or, like, gives people data, right? Or like you need to be focused on it. It's very important. So that's, you know, that's probably a big trend, I guess, that's probably happening this year and next year and the year after that, until like everybody's using their phone instead of their computer most of the time.
Yeah, and interestingly, the developing world has been using mobile phones as we're just starting to wake up and use them. So it's kind of interesting to see some of the ways we can learn from our brothers and sisters to the east, west, south, everywhere on how to use it, and also security. I think security is going to be an issue in terms of, you know, just, you know, making sure that, you know, if you do end up having a pay model or pay for an app or whatever, that becomes a piece of what you do. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But, Justin, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program and telling us how important your mom has been to you and your buddies that are there with you at Justin, and you're going to your five-year Yale reunion. We got a lot of nice little nuggets out of you, Justin.
Yeah, all right. Well, it's fun to be here. And it was great to have this talk. It's relaxing.
Fabulous.
Middle of the day thing for me to do.
Cool. Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed it. We'll let you get on with your day. And
all
thank
right,
you for being on.
All right.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. And we want to again thank Justin Kahn for making time to join us here on the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. We hope you enjoyed the program. If so, please friend us or add us to your favorites here on Blog Talk Radio. Or if you're listening on iTunes, please rate us. We want to know what you think. We can only improve the program if we get feedback from you. And be sure to tune in 1 week from today when we have our next program. anytime. You can tweet in questions or Facebook them in. Easiest way is usually just to go to my Facebook page where I list who's coming up on the program, and you can just add a comment there. And, of course, you can email me as well. Feel free to add me as a friend on Facebook, and we can email or message on Facebook. As always, you can keep up with the latest on this show, archives, and much, much more at JenniferLindsay.com. Have a great weekend.